The scripture reading for today is a familiar one. We've heard for a few weeks. It's Galatians 5, chapter 5, verses 22 to 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus, to Christ Jesus, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit.
ガラテヤ人への手紙5章22節から25節。しかし御霊の実は愛、喜び、平安、寛容、親切、善意、誠実、柔和、自制です。このようなものを禁ずる律法はありません。キリストイエスにつく者は自分の肉をさまざまな情欲や欲望とともに十字架につけてしまったのです。もし私たちが御霊によって生きるのなら御霊に導かれて進もうではありませんか。
Okay, Pastor Aki's message is entitled Walking with the Spirit, Walking in the Spirit.
Good morning. How about we all stand and greet our neighbors? So today we are going to conclude our series on walking in the Spirit. And let me just read that again from Galatians. Galatians 5:22, it says, But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let me pray. Father, we thank you so much for your gift of your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would just come and fill this place. We invite your presence right now, Lord, to fill our hearts. We ask, Lord, that you'll continue to allow us to be more aware, Lord, of your presence. We thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I want to talk about the last three characteristics of the Spirit, which is faithfulness, which are faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But before that, let me just give you a little recap. Walking in the Spirit requires for us to be born again. Walking in the Spirit requires us to be born again. And that's simple. All you have to do is believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and confess it with your mouth. Being born again is just a simple matter of faith. It doesn't require you to climb any mountain and get a rare flower or anything like that. It just requires you to believe and confess Jesus Christ is Lord. And walking in the Spirit is simple. It's simple. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to have certain skills, born rich, famous, strong. It's simple, but it's not easy. And the reason why it's not easy is because this world values those that opposes the Spirit. And our flesh desires what the world desires. And walking in the Spirit is simple, but not easy. John 6:29, it says, Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one He sent." John 15:5, Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So as we went through the characteristics of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, etc., my goal wasn't for you to say, okay, I need to work more on patience, or I need to work more on being loving. My goal was that you would see the characteristics and say, wow, I need to stay connected to Jesus. I need to connect with Jesus so that I may bear these fruit. A fruit is just a natural byproduct of being connected to the Lord. We all bear some kind of fruit, metaphorically speaking. We all bear some kind of fruit. And so, if you really want to know a person, and especially, you know, if you go to another church, if you want to know if the pastor is a legitimate person of God, you judge them by the fruit. Do they have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? And that should be increasing in our lives. If we're walking in the Spirit, it should continually increase, and we would bear these fruit. And apart from Jesus, we can't bear these fruit. I won't go through all the lists, all the characteristics. I do want to take some time and talk about the first one, though. And I have done this the past two Sundays. And so if you've been with us the past two Sundays, I'm sorry. You're going to hear the same thing, but it's fine. It's fine. My goal in repeating the same thing is that it sticks. But the first characteristic, which is the most important characteristic, is love. Love must be first. In Matthew 22:36-38, it says, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." If you do anything well in this life, let it be love. Loving God, loving others. If you strive for any spiritual characteristic as a Christian, may it be love. Loving God and loving others. Because that is the first and greatest commandment. That is the most important. Again, I've heard a pastor who was preaching on this, and he said, you know, many Christians have loved the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul as one of the top 10. But rarely is it number one in a person's heart. As a pastor, I have to continue to remind myself, my goal and my dream and what I pursue in this life should not be a big sermon, or Sorry. I got distracted. It shouldn't be a big church, a big congregation, or a great sermon. That shouldn't be my goal in life. My goal in life, as well as your goal in life, it should be this: to love. If you do that well, you're on the right road. Love must be first, and then it must be our greatest pursuit in this life. I can't stress that enough. In fact, after I listened to that preacher teach on love, I lay down in bed and I said, Lord, I prayed, Lord, I want that to be my greatest pursuit. I said something like, I want to be the most anointed man that loves you with all his heart, mind, strength, and soul. And I felt God's presence all over it. I felt a peace come over me. And my goal, and I hope your goal, will be to do that. It's to say, Lord, I want to love you with all my heart, mind, strength, and soul. We talked about the other characteristics of the Spirit. And if you want to hear more about that, our website has those sermons. It's online. But I want to take time to talk about the last three characteristics of the Spirit, and it is faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And God is looking for people that are faithful. Faithful in the small things. Yeah, sorry. Just skip ahead. All right. Oh, no, one more. Back. Yes, God is looking for those who are faithful in the small things. And aren't we all? Faithfulness is something that we might take for granted. And I believe all of us is it hot in here or is it just me? Okay, it's kind of hot. I'm starting to sweat. I thought it was the Spirit for a second, but I guess everyone's hot. So it is not the Spirit. Okay, it's a little hot in here. Man, I'm going to be like T.D. Jakes. Watch.
Watch out now. That makeup will run on you.
Yeah, I have my mascara start running. Okay, thank you, Junko. But God is looking for faithful people. I mean, faithfulness is something we as I look out into this congregation, I see that you have been faithful in some areas in your life. You have been faithful in taking a shower, right? Most of you do that every day. Faithful in changing your clothes. None of you smell. None of you look dirty. None of you guys look all appropriate. And that's because you learn how to be faithful in those things. So I believe faithfulness isn't hard. We can all do it. It's a matter of whether what we value to be faithful in. What do we value to be faithful in? And we serve the most faithful God. We serve a God who throughout the Bible has shown His faithfulness to us. If you take a survey of the Old Testament, God gets angry at His people, but He never forsakes them. He continues to remain faithful. And even to this day, He is remaining faithful to His people. But there is a spiritual, biblical principle that those who can be trusted with little can be trusted with much. And I want us to look at a parable in Matthew chapter 25. If you have your Bibles, turn there with me. In Matthew 25. Starting from verse 14. And here Jesus begins to teach about the kingdom of heaven. And in Matthew 25:14 it says, Again, It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servant and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on a journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled account with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. Take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For those who have will be given more, and they will have an abundance. As for those who have not, those who do not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus here is talking about the kingdom of God. This parable is about the kingdom. And is saying in this parable, they were given and they were expected to multiply. They were entrusted and they were to be faithful to make more. And I believe in our lives, as children of God, we have been given much. We have been given much. Now, I'm not talking about maturely, we have been given much. I'm talking about spiritually, we have been given much. And when Jesus returns, he is going to expect it to have increased in our lives. He's going to expect for it to at least grow a little bit. And what I mean by that is this. We need to be faithful in spiritual things. Many of us were faithful in a lot of different areas. As I look out, I see people that have been faithful in education. We have a couple of people with doctorate degrees. Or they've been faithful with their money. Or they've been faithful with their looks, their appearance. But what is most important is that we be faithful in the spiritual things. To stay connected to Jesus. And the biblical principle is this. Those who can be entrusted with a little will be entrusted with much. You know, we live in an age where selfishness continues to increase. You know, Phil mentioned what happened this past week, and the first question that came to my mind, and you know, we'll probably never find out, is why? Why would someone do that? You know, and You know, we'll probably never find out why it happened. But Jesus prophesied, he said, you know, the world will continue to grow colder, people will continue to become more selfish, and the end result is tragedy. And if we as believers, we are not faithful in cultivating our spirit, in cultivating the Holy Spirit that has been given to us, then we will continue to see the ugliness of sin in our lives, in the lives of other people. You know, God, man, I feel like God is, I feel like a lot of people are questioning God this weekend, you know. God, why did you allow stuff like that to happen? You know, and it's not like I don't ever question God. But I don't want to say the blame. But the church, I believe if the church, if we as the body of believer, as the body of believers, if we cultivate the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and it affects people around us, less of this would be happening. Now, you know, the person that did what he did, surely there could have been one or two Christians in his life trying to reach out to him. Amen? And we should all have one or two people around us that are not Christians that we should try to be reaching out to. Are we faithful in cultivating the Holy Spirit that He has downloaded in us? Are we faithful in that? If we're not, when the Lord returns, we will not hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let us be faithful in what He has given us. The next characteristic, and again, faithfulness is, I don't want you going back after this sermon, say, "I need to be more faithful. I need to be more faithful." My hope and prayer in preaching this is this, that you would go back and say, "I need to stay connected to Jesus. I need to stay connected to Jesus." Because, you know, Scripture says, "I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit consists of love, joy, peace, patience, and all these things, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." The next characteristic, gentleness. God is such a gentleman that He will not force Himself on anyone, but is looking for those who will invite Him in. Again, God could have stopped what happened. God is powerful enough to do that. But He is a gentleman. He will not force Himself upon anyone. You know, God has desires. He desires that all people come to know Him. But He will not force that upon anyone. In Revelation 3:20, a very famous passage, Jesus says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." Again, Jesus is knocking. He is waiting for an invitation. And it's so important that we as Christians, and you know, as I look out in this congregation, I don't think any of you are struggling with being gentle, but it's so important that we are gentle, even spiritually gentle. And what I mean by this, by spiritually gentle, is this. Most of us, physically, we are not giants. Right? Yeah. You don't have to worry if you like pat someone on the back, you'll hurt them. Most of us are not that strong. Spiritually, though, we are giants. And we can hurt people spiritually. And so it's so important that we need to be gentle in spirit. I remember when I first became Christian, I was on fire. And I wanted everyone to become Christian. And I was not gentle. I would let people know. My friends, you know, I was at my friend's 21st birthday party and he was drinking up a storm and doing all these and dancing. And I was like, you know, you shouldn't be drinking. I went to his birthday party and I said, you shouldn't be drinking. And I was just like, Jesus loves you, kind of thing. I seriously was. I mean, I was not being gentle in the spirit. I was trying to argue and fight his way into heaven. And there's a place for that, you know. And it's called the closet where you fight and pray them in. And not argue them in. You know, if you try to argue someone into the kingdom, they could be argued out of the kingdom. And as I was witnessing, I would get into these theological debates with my brothers, which was an absolute joke because both of us, we're not that smart. So, you know, we'd ask stupid questions and trying to answer it, and it was just, it did nobody any good. I think I turned them off to the gospel more than turned them on. Spiritually, we don't see this, but you know, we all are spiritual giants in Christ, and we all wield a spiritual sword in Christ. And it's so important that we're not just flinging that around everywhere and just cutting people up spiritually and turning people off to Jesus. And it's so important that we have a gentle spirit. That we go about it in a gentle way. You know, I've learned from my mistakes. And there was this one time, I was just at a Chinese food. I probably shared this with you, and I'll share it with you again. But I was at a Chinese fast food a restaurant. It's not a restaurant. I was at a Chinese fast food place. And I went and I had this book. I like to eat by myself, and when I eat by myself, I like to read. So I was reading this book. Just to let you know about me, I don't like to be in-your-face Christian. I'm Christian, but I used to always wear like Jesus shirts and Christian apparel and stuff like that. I don't do that anymore. But anyways, so I went into this restaurant and I had a book, and the book was like releasing Jesus, and you know, there was a man that looked like Jesus with his, and so I kind of tried to hide it. I didn't want people to know that, you know, I'm overly Christian. So as I was reading this book, interestingly enough, a man next to me, He just asked me, hey, what book are you reading? And so I'm like, oh man. So I sheepishly turned it around and said, it's like releasing Jesus into something, something. And he's like, oh, cool. You know, and I'm like, yeah, you know. And we just started talking, chit-chatting, small talk. And we just started to talk about religion. And it came to the point, it wasn't forceful, but I just said, you know, can I pray for you? And he's like, no, it's okay. And I said, okay, that's fine. And then he said, okay, you know what? Can you pray for me? And then I said, sure. And so I was going to be, you know, just quietly pray for him. But he does one of these. I'm like, ooh, this guy is like really into it. And so I just prayed, and I prayed a simple prayer. I just said, Jesus, if you're real, would you make yourself known to him? That's all I said. It wasn't like a big, long, loud prayer. But as I prayed that, and we just opened our eyes, and he said, whoa, that was so cool. Because I think Jesus really touched him. And I said, yeah, that's Jesus. And, you know, I wish I would have been a little bit more, I don't know. I just wish I would have closed the deal and say, would you like to ask Jesus in your heart? right now, right there and then. I just recommended some church he lived close to, and that was it. But there's a huge difference if I would have sat in there and just started trying to argue that man into the kingdom. He would have been turned off. He would have been like, you know, you're crazy. I'm just trying to eat Chinese food. But it was just a natural progression. He started talking, we started chit-chatting. I just prayed a simple prayer, and it touched him to the point where he was really open to the gospel. He was like, wow, that was so powerful. And this was an unbeliever. And as people of faith who has been given the Holy Spirit, we are spiritual giants. And we all wield a sword in the Spirit. And if we're just flinging it around, being careless with it, it's going to hurt people. It's going to turn people off. But if we're gentle enough and we know how to use it, they will be open to what you have to say. And they'll be willing to invite Jesus. Maybe not all the way in their heart, but they'll be willing to let Jesus closer. And, you know, let Jesus do His thing. He's really good at it. Amen? Doing okay? Alright, good. Amen. Alright. Last one. Self-control. You know, self-control, when I say that, it kind of sounds constraining. But it's actually the road to freedom. Self-control is the road to freedom. I've used this example, and it's not even my own example, but I've used this all the time. You know, there was a if I were up here, and if I were playing Tama's keyboard and just playing all this music, it wouldn't be because I had no self-control. I would have a lot of freedom on the keyboard because of a lifetime of discipline. Someone who has not practiced self-control and disciplined themselves to play the keyboard will not be able to do anything on the keyboard. Self-control is the road to freedom. You know, there many equate freedom as doing whatever they want to do. But that's actually, it's actually called hedonism. Indulging in everything we want to do usually leads to bondage. Staying connected to Jesus, it gives us the strength to have self-control, and it gives us true freedom. Jesus says in John 8:34, He says, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sinned is a slave to sin." Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And I believe most of us, we have self-control enough to be socially acceptable. But as we stay connected to Jesus, we'll have self-control enough to delight God. You know, many of us, we have self-control to be socially acceptable. And even acceptable in church. But as we stay connected to Jesus, we'll have such a spiritual self-control that we will be a delight to God. The danger of not practicing self-control is this. It starts out as a foothold. Sin does. And a foothold is somewhere where, you know, if you kind of picture like a bird perching itself on a tree, that's a foothold. If we allow that to continue to happen, it becomes a stronghold. And if go along with the analogy of the bird on the tree, a stronghold is like a bird building a nest on the tree. And if you let that continue to happen, it becomes a bondage. And that's where there's not just a bird with a nest, but it's like a bird with a whole bunch of other birds and a family of birds. The way a foothold becomes a stronghold and the way a stronghold becomes a bondage is if we continue to agree with the sin that's in our lives. That's it. It's a simple process. We just allow the thought and to go on with it and to agree with it, and suddenly it becomes a bondage. The thought of murder ends up in numerous innocent people being killed. A foothold, a stronghold, a bondage. It's very simple if you don't want that in your life. It's called self-control. It's simply saying no. And it starts with our thoughts. No. When Jesus was tempted, it was simply with an idea. If you are the Son of God, make these stones into bread. Jesus said no. And he gave a verse. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It's important. Just to give you a practical tool. You know, if you're struggling with something, have a good Bible verse to go with it. And so when that struggle comes, just recite that Bible verse. Easy, right? Everyone could do it. Let me tell you, a stronghold, a foothold, a stronghold, a bondage is no fun. And if you are struggling, you know the difficulty, the darkness, the shame, and the pain that it comes with it. But let me tell you, there is a supernatural freedom and joy if you break free of it. And it's simply by saying no. In my own life, as I struggled in areas, I've learned to confess. The Bible says, confess your sins one to another, and he is faithful, and he will forgive. John 1:9, that's one of my favorite verses. He is faithful, and he will forgive. So if you do struggle in any area of your life, find someone to confess it to. You know, I think the Catholic Church, as Protestants, we don't agree with their theology, but I think they do some things right better than we do sometimes. They have a priest you could confess to. I think that's a great idea, to be able to confess your sins one to another. It just gives so much freedom. Trust me. If you've never done it, there's so much freedom in it that you will say, wow, why didn't I do this before? There's such a power in freedom, in self-control. Self-control is the road to freedom. It may sound constraining. You know, the world says that just enjoy your life, do what you want to do, but that is the road to bondage. It is self-control that you will find the greatest freedom. And this is all done, and it's all possible by staying connected to Jesus. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we pray that we would be faithful, Lord. Give us the power to be faithful. To be faithful in the most important areas. To be faithful to you, Lord. Father, that we would consistently, regularly come to you, God. Father, I thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. I thank you, Lord, that you would allow us to bear much fruit for you, for your glory, Lord. Father, I pray that you would increase fruit in our lives, fruit of the Spirit in our lives, Lord, in each and every one of us, that you would increase love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I pray, Father, that each and every one of us would grow in these areas as we stay connected to you, Jesus. Draw us closer, Lord. We thank you so much for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.